Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 11th day of November 2011 in Los Angeles, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 6, Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 6. Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tataha Tataha Parayatanti Nareshu Evam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tatastataha Payatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tatastataha Payatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tatastataha Paryatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Hemadini Tatastataha Payatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tatastataha Payatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu Kartrishu Yata Vastuni Panyani Hemadini Tatastataha Payatanti Nareshvevam Jivo Yonishu. Ladies? Okay. Yata, just as Vastuni, commodities. Panyani, meant for trading. Hemaadini, such as gold. Tataha, tataha, from here to there. Paryatanti, move about. Nareshu, among men. Evam, in this way. Jivaha, the living entity. Yonishu, in different species of life. Kartrishu, in different material fathers. Translation: just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruit of activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another. Please repeat. Just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruitive activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It has already been explained that Chitraketu's son was his enemy in a past life and had now appeared as his son just to give him more severe pain. Indeed, the untimely death of the son caused severe lamentation for the father. One may put forward the argument, if the king's son was his enemy, how could the king have so much affection for him? In answer, the example is given that when someone's wealth falls into the hands of his enemy, the money becomes the enemy's friend. Then the enemy can use it for his own purposes. Indeed, he can even use it to harm its previous owner. Therefore, the money belongs neither to the one party nor to the other. The money is always money, but in different situations, it can be used as an enemy or a friend. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, it is not by any father or mother that the living entity is given his birth. The living entity is a completely separate identity from the so-called father and mother. By the laws of nature, the living entity is forced to enter the semen of a father and be injected into the womb of the mother. He is not in control of selecting what kind of father he will accept. Prakrte kriyamanani. The laws of nature force him to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer commodity that is purchased and sold. Therefore, the so-called relationship of father and son is an arrangement of prakriti or nature. It has no meaning, and therefore it is called illusion. The same living entity sometimes takes shelter of an animal father and mother, and sometimes a human father and mother. Sometimes he accepts a father and mother among the birds, and sometimes he accepts a demigod father and mother. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmande brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev, Guru Krishna pasare pai, bhakti lata bij. Harassed life after life by the laws of nature, the living entity wanders throughout the entire universe in different planets and different species of life. Somehow or other, if he is fortunate enough, he comes in touch with a devotee who reforms his entire life. Then the living entity goes back home, back to Godhead. Therefore it is said, Janme janme sabhe pita mata bhai, Krishna guru nahi mile, bhaje hadi ai. In the transmigration of the soul through different bodies, everyone in every form of life, be it human, animal, tree or demigod, gets a father and mother. This is not very difficult. The difficulty is to obtain a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. Therefore, the duty of a human being is to capture the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of the spiritual master, the spiritual father, one can return home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmiditam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So these are some very essential instructions being given by the Jiva. Jiva Uvacha, text 4. This is the spirit soul who took birth as a son, or the son of Chitraketu. You remember the story that Chitraketu had many, many, many queens, but he had no son. So all of those queens and all of the wealth of the palace and everything else he had couldn't give him any happiness. He was miserable because he had no son. King has to have a son, give off the kingdom. Who is it who came? Not Narada Muni. Angira. Angira Muni came and gave him a blessing that this sweet rice, right? Give the sweet rice to your favorite queen and she'll become pregnant. You'll have a son. He was overjoyed. And he learned that the son's name would be Harshashoka. So he didn't think much of it at the time. He said, well, most sons are Harshashoka. They give happiness and they give distress. Maybe he'll be a little rebellious, whatever, you know. So he gave his wife the milk, the sweet rice, and sure enough she became pregnant. So And she gave birth to this wonderful, beautiful little child, little son. Now, naturally, all the other co-wives were now less favored by Chitraketu, and they became envious. And horribly so, so much so that they killed the child, poisoned the child. And then the Shoka, he was much more miserable than he was even without the son. Now you just have this vision of him walking through the palace hallway, fainting, beating his head against the wall, falling down. This is how bad the lamentation was for Chitraketu. So then Narada Muni comes and brings the son back to life. He brings the jiva back into this dead body, and he starts speaking. And this is what we're hearing now. And so Narada Muni, who's serving as a spiritual master, is actually speaking through this child, and the child is enlightening Chitraketu. So the first point here is that the child says, whose father am I really? Or whose son am I really? I've had so many fathers, so many different species of life. What is the relationship that I have to you? What's the importance of it? And then he's giving an example here. Just the gold and other commodities go from one to another, from one person to another. As we learn, wealth is called Lakshmi, Chanchala. She doesn't stay any place very long, despite your greatest efforts. Now there's this world economic nervousness, because huge amounts of money, billions and trillions of dollars, they don't know where it is. You know, they borrowed it. The banks in Europe and the countries in Europe have borrowed all this money, and they can't pay it back. You know, basically they're all bankrupt, and so they thought they had all this money, right? Everything was going on nicely, and suddenly it's gone. It's not there. And it's like a major crisis, because we're speaking about billions and trillions and countries, whole countries going bankrupt. So this is the nature of wealth, is that you try to accumulate it, you try to hold on to it, you try to use it for your own purposes. You have faith in it, you have confidence in it that it's there for you, but then it's not there. Or it's still there, but it's not worth as much. Inflation. We all know the history of, well, maybe you don't, but in the 30s, there was this massive inflation in Germany. Hitler was in power, and they kept printing money, money, money. And after a while, you needed to take a wheelbarrow of Deutsche Marks in order to get a candy bar. You know, this is what can happen, hyperinflation. So the money is there, but what happened to the value of the money, you see? So this is the nature that wealth goes from one to another. Despite our greatest efforts, it leaves our hand, goes to another, leaves and like that. So similarly, the living entity is traveling. We have had so many different fathers, so many different mothers, so many different bodies, species. And in each one of them, we have identified with that in the conditioned state. Now I'm a demigod. Now I'm a dog. Now I'm Chinese. Now I'm American. You know? And each one we put our heart and soul into, we completely identify. And we establish so many relationships on the basis of that body that we come into, right? The famous story I just heard on the tape, Prabhupada is giving a lecture. Indra. As you know, as we just had Govardhan Puja, Indra often gets into trouble because of his temper, his inability to control his senses and the motive passion. So he did something, I forget the story, with some sage. He got cursed to become a hog on earth. What a come down. Indra. There he is up in the heavenly planets. All the dancing girls are there. He's in charge of everything. Now suddenly he's a hog. Takes birth as a hog. All right. Got into it. He had his hog wife. He had his little hoglets. You know, he was responsible for the family. And he's completely absorbed in it. But there's no Indra. So Brahma, you know, he's a major manager. So Brahma comes down. Prabhupada says because the universal affairs weren't going nicely. So he talks to this Indra hog, and he says, look, you're not a hog. Come back to the kingdom of heaven. You know, that's where you belong. He says, oh, no, I have my responsibilities. Look, I have my wife here. She's dependent on me. Look, what are my children going to do? You know, So Brahma, being frustrated, we have, you know, he actually killed the hog wife and all the things to wake him up, so that he would realize, oh, this isn't my place. Similarly, this is the wake up call. Oftentimes, we can look at our own lives. Oftentimes, a shock is necessary to make us thoughtful about life in general. Otherwise, you get so absorbed in the moment of passion. What do I have to do today in order to make the money, in order to pay the rent? This and that. You go through all of life that way. But the shock of Chichiketu's son dying, and now the special mercy of the son coming back to life and preaching to him, completely enlightens him. We'll see that after this, he takes sannyasin, he gets his mantra from Narada, he realizes Lord Sankarshan in 7 days. So the idea here is that karma na daiva netrena jantu deho papatriye sriyapa vishtu uranam pungso rekra kanashya. This is spoken by Lord Kapiladev. Same idea. Karma na daiva netrena. We perform certain activities in the lifetime, in the human form of life. This is all being witnessed by the super soul, by the sun, by the moon. It said there's witnesses for everything. And it's all being recorded. And according to our pious activities, our sinful activities, our very sinful activities, karma, vikarma, we are put into a certain womb, having taken shelter of a particle of semen. This is the meaning of this verse. According to daiva netrena, this is the main idea, is that is, there's an oversight by the daiva. Daiva means the demigods as well as the super soul. So we're making our destiny day by day, moment by moment, according to what we, how we act, and the desires we cultivate, the relationships we make and break, and whether we're acting according to the laws of God, the Vedas. Now most people don't even know what they are, and wouldn't, you know, and so they're performing vikarma, and this vikarma is very dangerous. Not only does it cause suffering, but you can very well lose this valuable human form of life. This is one of the things that you learn. The first thing you learn when you read the Bhagavad Gita is life is eternal. We've had so many different lives in the future. We'll have future lives. So that changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. Because if we're simply investing our energies in this one life, trying to eke out some kind of happiness or security in this lifetime, then we're not seeing the broader picture. And we're not understanding how we can act best for our ultimate good. As Arjun says, yakshe aksyan nishtitam bruhitam me shishastahim shari mantvam papandam. That, O Krishna, now I'm no longer arguing you with a friend. Now I'm your disciple. Please instruct me for certain how I can achieve my ultimate good. This is an essential question a human being must ask. We're all asking questions, but that question alone really opens up the doors to the real welfare and good for the living entity. So Chichiketu is realizing that his attachment for the kingdom, for the family, for his many wives, and especially for his son, was all part of the illusory energy. This is what the illusory energy does. It covers Krishna because we want to forget Krishna. And we become enamored of all the phantasmagoria of this material world. The varieties of objects of pleasure, the opposite sex, the ability, you know, to enjoy the fame and name that can come if we act in a certain way. And by that contemplation of that, we become absorbed in it. Sangat sanjayate kama. It's a kind of association. You're associating with it. And the knowledge, the intrinsic knowledge of the soul is lost or forgotten. Let's say forgotten. And we can go lifetime after lifetime, millions of lifetimes in this illusion. Establishing these relationships out of great hope that this will make us happy, being dejected because they don't. And relationship is not just with other human beings or even living beings. Relationship is there with the money, with the gold, with the house, with the car, with everything. That's also a relationship, right? We have that. We feel we control it. This is our shelter. And it's then it fails us. The whole idea is that it's a big, what do you say, Ponzi scheme, if you will. It's a bluff. Maya is there to fool you. She's fooling you. You know, and if we agree to be fooled, we can go on being fooled for millions and millions of births. And each time we get disappointed in the time of death, what happened? You know, where is everything now? Prabhupada also, mrityu sava haras chaham. I was just thinking of this, you know, sometimes these ideas come as you chant your japa. That, because out there, and maybe for some of us also, this big economic financial problem is in people's minds. Job crisis and all these things. So it's just like that, is that you invest, isn't it? In your lifetime, you invest your attention, you invest your energy, you invest your emotional energy, and you invest your money in an enterprise that you think will give you a good return. This is capitalism, right? And for a while, it may seem to be giving you a good return. You're successful. And many people are not successful, but they never give up hope. Maybe next business will work, right? So they invest. But ultimately, what's the return? Zero. Everybody, whether it's Bill Gates or some poor guy who went broke after 3 weeks. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. I take everything away. It's just like poor people who, you know, from the 2004, 2005, 2006, the in America, the real estate bubble. They bought a house. They said it has to go up. It's always gone up. The value goes up. You take out an equity loan in this way. You're living beyond the means, right? Then the bubble bursts. The house is worth less than you paid for it. You can't use it as an ATM anymore. Suddenly, I was so wealthy. Now I'm poor, right? And then even beyond the street, the jobs aren't there. The house isn't there. Or the income isn't there. What happened? Right? But Krishna says that he does that anyway. No matter even if you're so-called successful. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. Sometimes, you know, before that, the bank takes everything away. But Krishna ultimately takes everything away. So the investment is sure to fail. It's the wrong bank account. Right? Now look at the investment in Krishna consciousness. Neha vikramanashosti, pratyavaya navijate. In this endeavor, there is never any loss or diminution. Now, where can you find a financial investment like that? You can't. But the spiritual investment, there's always an increase. You see? And the more you invest, you're sure to get more out of it. Ye yatama mabhadyante tam tataiva bhajamya. The problem is we don't have faith. It's the faith that if you give up this other investment in the material side, and you just invest your energy, your attention, your life energy, you know, prana, atta, dhiya, vacha, your life force, your intelligence, your money, and your words in Krishna consciousness, that the return will be infinite. The rate of return is infinite. You get eternal bliss and knowledge. After all, that's what they're looking for. I mean, when you invest some money in something, you're not looking for more money. You're looking for more happiness. You're looking for security. Yoga kshemam. But it's not to be found in this material world, in any investment. So the devotees are the greatest investors. In fact, that's one of the questions that Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy. Who's the greatest capitalist? Look it up. You'll find it in the Madhya Lila, chapter 8. So Ramananda Roy answered, he said, the greatest capitalist is one who has the wealth of love for Radha and Krishna. Is it? So we have to become misers for that. You know the famous miser verse? Vichayani, vichayani, vichinjani, punakpanaha. Kripanasya dhananiva, pranamani, bhavantunaha. Compelled to constantly collect and count his precious hoard, the miser contemplates his wealth with avaricious aims. Please bless me to become a miser who's compelled, O Lord, to constantly collect and count and contemplate your names. See? We have to become greedy. As a famous sage once said, greed is good. But he had it wrong. You have to know what to be greedy for. If you're greedy for money, that opens the door wide to hell. Chivadam nadakasedam dvadam nashanam atmanha kama krodha tata lobas tasmarita trayam tujit. There's three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. You know, and this is the flag of the demons. Ishwaroham aham bogi siddhoham balavan suki. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. You know, I am the enjoyer. And then it goes on. I've killed this enemy. I'm going to get this. I'm going to take this. This is more or less the creed of the materialists. You know, but devotees also, you know, so if you become materially greedy, then that's a downfall. It's like an extreme inflammation of lust. You become lusty, and then that, you're never satisfied. It burns like fire. You become more and more and more and more and more. Right? And that just takes you down to hell, opens the door. So what does Krishna say at the end of that 16th chapter? He says, So here's the stark contrast. On one side, you can see the door is opening to hell. You can see the fire is burning down there. Lust, anger, and greed. And here he says, those who are liberated from this, who are free, the devotees, they always act for their ultimate good. And they go back to Godhead. So then he has two verses that I always focus on as it's really important, because they really strike home. Yak shastra vidamutsurja vartate kamakaravaha. Nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam napadam gatim. If we disregard shastra, we reject it, and continue to act on the impulses of material desire, lust, then we'll never achieve happiness, we'll never achieve the ultimate goal. What is it? Siddhim avapnoti nasukam napadam, or the perfection. Therefore, last verse of the chapter. Tasmat shastam pramanam te karya karya vivastito. Gyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma karta maharasi. Therefore, to find out what to do and what not to do, one has to consult shastra, Srila Prabhupada's books. And having understood that, one should actually act according to them as a matter of duty. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada talks about, he mentions this famous verse from Lord Chaitanya, Brahmande Brahmade Kon, that the jiva, the soul, is wandering. We have wandered up and down the Brahmandas, that's the universe, different places, different species, and so forth. But we're so fortunate because we have received the seed of the creeper of devotion due to the mercy of Krishna and Guru. That's the great blessing of this human form of life. We're eligible to receive it. So having received it, we need to water it properly. Now, how can we get that instruction or that mercy of the guru constantly? These books are how we can associate with the great pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And those who are following and those who are speaking and those who are teaching and writing on the basis of these books, that's good association. That's the Shastra Vidhi. That's the instruction of Shastra that we need to hear. Because the mind... inside and also outside, the modes of nature is so thick and so powerful that if we don't constantly reiterate the instructions of the Shastra and the Guru and purify our intelligence, then we can easily become covered over. That's why I like to chant that verse before every class. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That translation, Prabhupada said, it's right there in the original Delhi Bhagavatams. Those who regularly attend classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. To serve the book Bhagavat as well as the person Bhagavat regularly, every day. That's what it takes in order to keep ourselves strong in Krishna consciousness and to correctly water that seed. And then we can appreciate, you know, this wonderful pastime here, how Chitraketu woke up. He woke up from the illusion of attachment, of powerful attachment. Until he went through this, he wouldn't be eligible, you know. But the shock of getting the son and losing the son, it's like if you win the lottery then lose the ticket, that's worse than not losing at all, right? That's the idea. It's in the Bhagavatam. One who gets great wealth and then loses it is in an ocean of lamentation. So Chitraketu wanted a son, wanted a son, wanted a son, got the son, then lost it. So then he was in, huge emotional pain. At that point, Narada came, brought the son back to life, and he's getting this great instruction. And so the intelligent person doesn't have to go through that. We can get the same benefit just by reading the pastime. You see, that's the whole idea, that the intelligent person hears these things and he or she can embrace the principles of devotional service. And in this way we can wake up from the illusion that there's some happiness, some place of safety in this material world. We're in this desert, of this material world. We shouldn't be running after one oasis after or one mirage after another, and die repeatedly in the desert. We should find the real source of nectar, real transcendental water, which is Krishna consciousness. And even in this material world, it can turn into a paradise, for the devotee who is constantly Krishna conscious. Vishram Purna Sukhayate. He sees the whole universe is filled with happiness because he sees Krishna everywhere. He sees Krishna's pastimes everywhere. One of the results of investing in Krishna consciousness. So any questions on this verse? I'll read the translation again. Just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruit of activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another. Okay, then I'll share with you a couple of poems, since we have a few minutes. How does one stay alive in Krishna consciousness? Well, we've been given the wealth of sound vibration, and the sound vibration is our overwhelmingly our main connection with Krishna, like this Hare Krishna mantra. This is not of this material world; it's imported from the spiritual world, and especially in this age, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his compassion, it has become such an easy way. It is the Yuga Dharma, this chanting of the holy name. So I'll give you this little ashtaka that I wrote. I didn't write the original Sanskrit, but I put it into English. So it says, Maruram Mararebyopi, Mangalebyopi Mangalam, Pavanam Pavanebyopi, Harinamaiva Kevalam. Of sweet things is the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. So we should have faith that we can appreciate this one day, the sweetness, tunde tandamadita team. That because we're, steeped in ignorance for so many births, it doesn't taste so sweet at first. But we have, just like you have jaundice, sugar doesn't taste sweet. But if you keep taking sugar, eventually you get cured and then it tastes sweet again. So the holy name is the sweetest of the sweet. Then he says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Abrahma Stambaparyantam, Satyam Mayamayam, Sarvam Mayamayam Jagat, Satyam, Satyam, Punak, Satyam, Hadeyanama Evakevam. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari, the holy name of Sri Hari, is surely all that be. Saguru sapita chapi samata bandavopisa shikshiche sadasmartam harinamaiva kevalam. He's the mother, he's the father, he's the guru, he's the Fenros true, and she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hari sadavasi tatra yatra bhagavatajana gayanti bhakti bhavena hare namaiva kevalam. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities uplift their voices high and chant his name in ecstasy. the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Nikshvase nahi vishvaso yadarud no bhavishyati kirtane yamata balyad hari namaiva kevalam. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Aho dukkam, aho dukkam, dukkha dukkha tadam vita, kachartam visvatam ratna harinamaiva kevalam. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity, for people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Niyatam niyatam vacha, diyatam diyatam karna, niyatam niyatam vachaha, giyatam giyatam nityam hare nama vikevalam. Just fill your ears. Just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name. Just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Trinikuchita gatsavam rajate sakalopari chadanandamayam Shuddham Hare Namaiva Kevalam. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme, divinity and sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Sri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who hear this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. Gaur Premanande. One more? Any requests? There's another one about the holy name. This is from Raghunath Das Goswami. Radeti nama navasundara sinu mugnam, Krishneti nama madurapada gara dugdham, Savakshanam sarabiraga himena ramyam, Kritvata daiva pibame rasane chadarte, an excellent fresh nectar drink, with endless subtle tastes. Such is the name of Radha, by whom all three worlds are graced. Condensed milk that is wonderfully delicious, thick and sweet. Such is the name of Krishna, in whom all attractions meet. Now mix these drinks, O thirsty tongue, and add the fragrant ice of love, a prize the wise will try to buy at any price. And then at every moment drink this beverage most fine and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine. Gaur Premanandri Hari Hari Bhava. All glories, Srila Prabhupada.